Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. It is Steve Arterburn here for New Life, and you could join me and Dr. Jill Hubbard and Alice Benton simply by making a phone call, 1-800-229-3000. We are here every weekday trying to provide a little bit of hope and help, maybe even some healing when life has the roughest stuff here. Welcome to both you guys there, Alice and Hello. Jill. How are you today?
I'm good. I was commenting on how there's no traffic right now, and it's so fun to just sail into the studio.
Easy to get around.
And the sun is shining, so we're happy about that.
Yes, we are.
Right?
We've been out riding bikes, and we're starting to see more cars out, and so we're actually having to look both ways for the first time. Mm. So it is picking up a little bit. I want to mention a couple of things to you. Family Talk, that's James Dobson's program. I'll be on there tomorrow talking about every man's battle. And I'd love for you to tune in to that. Also, I'm starting a series. You know, many of you know that I've been doing these quarantine chats at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. If you don't have a good math mind, of course, that's 2 p.m. Pacific. And then it's on YouTube after that. It just keeps going. Or Facebook Live anytime. Well, I'm going to start a new series, and we're going to talk about 12 steps to grieving. I think every person involved in life going through this crisis, you've lost something. Whether it's freedom or convenience or routine, some a job, some financial stability. Some you've lost your health. Others, you've lost loved ones. Everybody's experienced some kind of loss. We're going to help you get through that 12 steps. So we'll do it for 12 days today. Since we're starting, that's going to be step number one. And that's where we come to declare we have a divine limitation. And it's extreme. It's just admitting that we can't do this on our own. And it gets that false hope out of the way that we can fix somebody else or fix ourselves. That's really what it's the beginning of surrender, when we can see our own limitations. It is a great and wonderful place to be when you know reality versus having false hope or just wishing, wouldn't you say?
It's a relief. Mm-hmm. It's scary beforehand, but it is a relief because I'm just recognizing the reality and the truth that I am not enough. And then the space is made for God to come in and make his power perfect in my weakness. Mm-hmm. So there's freedom in surrender.
And it's very different than giving up, right? This isn't just a giving up into hopelessness. This is where the hope begins, mm-hmm. is when we can truly come to the end of ourselves and hit up against those limitations.
Yeah, I think one of the great insights about our own restoration and recovery is that when we say we're powerless, it doesn't mean that we're hopeless, and it doesn't mean that we're helpless. It's just admitting reality, that I simply can't, won't anymore try to fix this on my own. That's the key, on my own. My will, my resourcefulness, well, it hasn't helped. And so many times we get into the defective ways of dealing with things. We disconnect. Or we discredit everybody around us. Whatever the diss is, it disses the wrong way. So we can change all that. All right, if you want to join us right now, 1-800-229-3000. This program, as well as the chat at 5 p.m. Eastern, is on Facebook Live right now. We'll do another program after this, and it'll be on Facebook Live right after this. Glad you're with us. And if you can help us with a matching gift, over $350,000 in matching funds. We'll tell you how to do that in just a bit.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and let's go right to the phones. 1-800-229-3000. How about we talk with Karen, calling from Denver, Colorado. Hi, Karen. Welcome to New Life, and how can we help you?
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for taking my call, and I appreciate
what
you guys do so much. I'm calling because I'm living in a situation with a person I've been married with for 40 years, and we're cohabitating. And, you know, over the years, the kids have all grown and gone, and we're looking at each other, and we don't know who we are. And I've hurt him, and he's hurt me. He's narcissistic, passive-aggressive, covert narcissist. And I want to either work on the marriage or, you know, move on. And he's pretending like everything's fine. And having conversations with him is like going in circles.
Okay.
I'm really not sure what to do and how to address the problem.
Okay.
He's ignoring it.
All right. Well, Jill, you want to get us started here?
So he's been successfully avoiding for 40 years? Is that what you're saying, Karen? Kind of. You don't need to answer that.
I guess. Honestly, yes. I was kind of, I felt sexually abused in my marriage.
Mm.
And so I did things to run the other way and not deal with it until,
okay.
You
so
know,
you both have avoided.
I had more time to, avoiding, and he's a workaholic, and like I said, with the narcissism, I can't, everything centers around him, and he's,
and so,
you know.
Have you been able to try anything in over time? Have you gotten any help?
We did couples counseling, which didn't work. He, you know, tried to address the, I guess one thing, the sexual abuse or the, you know, I just felt used in my marriage, like I was invisible and was used for this one thing. And
and that's part of
his children. And
yeah, that's part of the narcissism, Karen. Right? It's that you're right that it's like you don't completely exist because oftentimes they don't see you as whole people, right? So, and often they want less than the person who is not narcissistic, and so it's perfectly satisfying. And I'm so sorry. That is such a frustrating place to be in. I do hear you taking responsibility for the ways in which you hurt him, and I think that's really important to do. And sometimes you have to start with that humbled position of, again, owning your part because they don't really respond to stepping up to their own sense of badness, especially in the face of somebody else doing something wrong against them. So I always think it's good to say, you know, okay, we keep going round and round. We've been doing this for 40 years, but gosh, there seems like there's got to be more here. And if I'm the problem, would you come with me to try something different we haven't tried before? And I would recommend our marriage intensive weekend. Mm-hmm. That you've got to come at it, you know, sometimes being immersed, well, I know, being immersed makes a huge difference. And it's especially eye-opening, I think, to men when they are in the company of other couples and other men, and they're seeing things that they can identify in others, and then they also get lovingly confronted by other men. It's very, very powerful. And if you've just done the one-on-one counseling, well, you know, I'm all for that. I think you need something a little more intense to really jumpstart.
I sent him information. I'm not speaking to him right now on other things that are, you know, deeper than the weather. But I've sent him information on an intensive, and he never emailed me back, never expressed concern, never expressed interest.
Okay, but Karen, he's not going to, so you've got to get around that. That he's just going to keep doing the same in MO of avoiding and not addressing what he doesn't want to address.
Right.
And so you've got to find a different way to communicate. And I understand it's really, you know, you can really get incensed at their lack of treating you like a non-person.
I am, and he's been unfaithful twice in our marriage, and I'm basically wondering, sitting here looking at this going, I don't know if I even want this.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Because he obviously doesn't, and I'm feeling very indifferent toward all of it and the work it's going to take to get it back on board. And with a narcissist, I don't know, is that even possible?
Well it's
a
not
lot of things
impossible.
Are possible.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but here's the thing. You have grounds for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But grounds for divorce aren't necessarily grounds for a better life. That's what we've found. And the amount of work that goes in to the divorce and all that process, and then the work into being a healthy single person, and then if you were to remarry, that work for it to be anything better, it's just a lot of work. So you've got a lot of work, and it's a pretty cool thing. It's not just a pretty cool thing. It's a tremendously wonderful thing when somebody decides to not have the same attitude, not believe that everything has been tried, willing to take a different approach, and you get a little bit of movement on the other side. If all the other person who is the chief offender ever experiences is bitterness, anger, criticism, resentment, well, not much chance they're going to move your way. But if in the grand scheme of things you could somehow be more inviting for whatever's possible, maybe he would come your way enough to just experience that one weekend, which we have seen do miracles. Alice, you have anything you want to comment on here?
Karen, we hear and we believe that you have been sorely mistreated by your husband. And as Steve is pointing out, you do have the biblical right to leave. But I think God is asking you to pause and to make sure that your side of the street is clean and that you've made confessions and asked for forgiveness, even from your husband who has been abusive, but not because he merits you doing that, but because you need that. And you need to be able to clean your and clear your conscience if you're going to decide to leave this marriage. And I don't think you're going to like the rest that I have to say, but I'm saying this to you out of my care and concern for you. Because your husband's been willing to participate in couples counseling previously, I think you have to stop the stonewalling. You have to talk with him again to find out if there is any hope for repentance and for his participation in what Jill is talking about here. But cleaning your side of the street lays the foundation, and then lovingly bringing truth to him, even though he doesn't deserve it, and inviting him to repentance will show you, is he willing to do any work to move towards you or not? And then I think more clearly you can make that decision about whether or not you stay or you go.
Right. I don't think you have to decide right now at all. I think you could even tell him, Karen, that you don't know if you want this marriage. But regardless of whether you guys stay together or not, you need to do some work because you have children together. And I'm thinking maybe grandchildren, if not now, down the road. And so he will always be in your life, right? You don't lose the problems you have. It just takes on a different form. It's like you lose the good and you get the rest, right, for a lifetime. So even if you went to the workshop and figured out how to coexist better, that would be an improvement, right?
Well, it's a great healing experience. It's also a great way, I even hate to use the word communicate, because when two people hate each other, just learning to communicate better and learning to tell each other how much you hate each other better, that doesn't do any good. But it's so much beyond
actually
just communication skills. It's truly transforming all that you are. But the chances of healing are so high when you come. That's the main thing. Let me send you a copy, How We Love. That's by Mylon and Kay, who do the workshop with me. I think that's going to help you see some things. It is really tough, and I would encourage anybody that's listening to this call, don't go 40 years. You know, that first time somebody's unfaithful, that's when you pull out all the stops, demand certain things happen, and you use that time to do the best you can. You can always walk away, but I'm telling you, when you do, it so often it just doesn't get any better. Let's go to Valerie, Orlando, Florida, Sirius XM, channel 131, 1 p.m. Eastern. And by the way, anybody else want to join us? 1-800-229-3000 is the phone number. All right, Valerie, how are you? Valerie, you're on.
Hello.
Hi. How can we help you today?
Hi. Yes. Can I ask about myself helping out a person who's homeless? The person is homeless, but I have given that person addresses to go and get some kind of place to stay, like in a shelter. And the person doesn't want to do that. But yet the person keeps coming to my door and telling me they're hungry, they want to charge their phone. And she was arrested because I did a letter in my home, and she at 4 a.m. she said she was going to leave. She just got up to leave, and my husband happened to hear her leaving. So I told her, because the COVID virus is out there, I don't want to get sick. I'm in my 60s. She's in her 30s. I'm more vulnerable. I'm more what they call at risk. I was afraid. So I told her she can't come back anymore. And then by mistake, I left my door open a few days later. Just a little jar, and next thing she's there trying to charge her phone. My husband let her stay and charge the phone. Then I felt bad for her, so I gave her something to eat. Long story short, my question is, I dropped her off to pick up her, so she got arrested. She got arrested the night she left. Well, I don't know if she got arrested the night she left at 4 a.m, but I know she got arrested at least shortly after that, and then she said she got arrested for loitering, plugging in her cell phone.
Okay, so what's the question?
My question is, I'm picking her up, I'm dropping her. She was staying at my house since then, since she got arrested, and she cursed me and said, I've been arrested. So I'm taking her to the police precinct to get her foot bag that she said that they never gave her back, and then I feel like I shouldn't take her back. So my question is, should I take her back into my home? My husband says I should, because he said that I told her I would let her stay to the end of the month. I feel like, though, it's just too emotional for me right now, that I'm going to have a hard time just telling her no in 2 days to leave, rather than just let it go today. We're at the police precinct now. She's looking around for a bag. So I don't know what to do. That's
okay.
What I'm calling
so
to ask your advice.
It sounds like to me that you are kind of driven by the emotions of the moment. Would that be true?
Yes. I'm very upset because I don't want to treat people like they're not human, but
right.
I at the same time feel like I'm not helping her. I feel like I'm just dragging this out, going in a circle over and over. We keep going through the same things again, and she makes me think that I'm helping her, but then I don't know if I'm helping her. And everybody's telling me not to help her, so she has the opportunity to go to a shelter and get help. So
now, let me ask you this.
Let
me ask you this. So a lot of people have told you not to help her. Why is it that you would not take their advice?
Because I see somebody that looks like they lost a lot of weight, and they look like they're not eating. And so when she comes to my door, she looks very... So I feel bad. I want to give her food, and then I know she's going to live in the street, so I just feel bad. But then at the same time, I notice that she's not trying to look for work.
Right.
She says she's trying, but then, like, just now, I want to come back.
So I'm going to get right back to that original question. So why do you think, given all of that, she looks... You feel sorry for her, but you also realize might not really be helpful. So you have to ask yourself, are you helping her or are you hurting her? Are you doing something to help yourself that looks like it's helping her, but it's hurting her? These are tough questions. And then, but if I can come up and be truthful about my motives and the things I'm doing, I might be able to change them. Now, the guy that seems to not be asking, reacting emotionally is the husband, and he's saying, well, now maybe through the end of the month. I mean, yeah, so that's like 3 more days. So we'll talk about that when we come back. So often, helping somebody else is a futile attempt to help ourselves. Out of the best motives, we do some of the worst things.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. 1-800-229-3000 for 2 hours. Well, now it's about an hour and a half. We're going to be here taking your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. So, you guys, here, I mean, I've made the case for emotional decisions, well, stuff like that. But what about the husband saying, I think we ought to take her back in? What do you think about that?
I think that's an interesting twist, because I would have expected the opposite. Mm-hmm. So, the husband is sticking to a commitment, I guess, and honoring their word about that, but I don't know that he is maybe sensing how hard this is on Valerie. And Valerie, I was also talking at the break about the idea of sometimes with people that have less than we do, there's a little bit of survivor's guilt that kicks in, right? We feel guilty for having. And so, Steve, like you were saying, your intentions are really, really good, Valerie, in what you're wanting to do. But we really do have to look at, Steve, like you said, what is helping and what isn't. Has your husband said why he thinks that you should allow her to stay?
Well, he said the reason why is because I told her she could stay till the end of the month. But then when I had to take her today to the precinct, I took her to the precinct to pick up her bag. The bag wasn't there. I think she has a mental illness. If the bag wasn't there, or she's gone out looking around somewhere for the bag. And I just feel like I'm being dragged into something. But it's just going to be like a circle, like I'm going around and I don't feel good about this.
Okay, well, there.
He thinks that because I gave my word, that I gave my word that she could stay to the end of the month. But then I said to him, "But we have her here now. All her stuff is out of my house now.
Right.
I'd just rather leave her and just go. But I don't feel like it's right. That's why I'm calling you guys, because I feel like I'm not.
Well, I think, and I think you're kind of waking up to the fact that maybe all of your helping isn't the type of help that she really needs. You know, I was also remembering about a friend who did this very same thing, Karen, where she had the best intentions, and she took in a homeless person and helped to get her on her feet and led her to the Lord and did all these wonderful things for her, only to have her start stealing from her and end up kind of back on the streets again, right where she started. And it's just heartbreaking. And so again, it's like sometimes we can try to have our best intentions to really want someone to live a different standard of life, but do they want that? And what is the help they're really needing? If there's some underlying mental illness here, which oftentimes there is, then she needs help for that and in an environment that can address that.
Okay, I think she ought to just sit down with her husband and say, look, I hear what you're saying about this thing end of the month, but, you know, there are things that happened. She came in the home when it was open, and, you know, just things, and maybe see what he thinks about, okay, maybe I didn't understand.
Well, husband, I appreciate your willingness to honor our commitment. However, I am sensing that this is the end of the month for us.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Right.
That's a great way to do it. And then I think you may have to look at, well, how do I keep her from showing up every time she wants to charge her phone or gets hungry? I mean, you're really you've kind of set up a problem there that you may need to actually, well, that's what I'd be discussing with my husband, is that particular issue of what happens if she comes back. All right, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Lena, Ontario, Canada. She watches on YouTube. Glad she does. Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm not bad. Thanks for taking
not
my
bad.
Call, Stephen.
You're
not
welcome.
Bad.
Glad to have you on.
Mm-hmm.
How can we help?
I've been married for 35 years. Happy, happy marriage. two mm-hmm. beautiful kids, and we get along so well. We're like best friends, the four of us. They're grown. They're 30 and 32. My daughter's married. I just found out in 2012 to 2017, my husband had an affair with a woman that my kids have talked about previously, like years ago, and they both disliked her. Well, my husband doesn't want anybody to know. He wants me to tell my daughter because she has her degree in psychology, because I'm falling apart and he sees how I am. My husband says to me that he will do anything for me. Like, he's very remorseful and he cares about me. And he will do anything to keep our marriage together because it's beautiful. We've had a beautiful marriage. So what's the question for us? Should I tell my daughter? I'm actually embarrassed to tell her. I think it would destroy my daughter and my son. I think they will hate my husband. They will have no respect for my husband because he's such a great man.
Quick question.
Father.
Tell me again how long ago it was?
2012 to 2017, he had an affair.
Okay.
And
you feel like he is absolutely remorseful in every way, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's crying. He's down on his knees begging for forgiveness.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we'll give you some help right after this. I'm really glad that you called before you did anything. That's wonderful. All right.
Thank you.
You're listening to New Life Live in Canada, Ethiopia. Just had a guy text me from Brazil, all over, because you support the ministry. And if you want to help us with this matching fund, you could text and support us easily. You text 28950, the words NLM match. Tell them how much you want to support us with, and it's not only your gift, but that gift gets doubled. We'll be back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and so glad we're talking with Lena. Husband, good man, 5-year affair, ended in 17, not that long ago. Thinks she should tell the daughter. Wife doesn't think so. I'll start with you, Alice. What do you think is the plus, the minus, and the, what do you think is best in this kind of situation?
Lena, sister, I'm going to come in close. I want to sit right down beside you and first acknowledge you are in a world of pain. Mm-hmm. This discovery is horrendous, and it's really rocking the foundations of your family. And you're right, it will even more when your kids find out about it. There are better ways of going about letting your kids know, and we're going to get to that in a moment. But I need to come to you with something difficult, and I hope I'm wrong. I think you're holding to an illusion. An illusion of how great your husband is, and that everything is so wonderful and even close to perfect. I'm afraid that if you hold to that illusion, it will keep you captive. Your husband was willing to deceive you and to put your family in the danger of having a 5-year affair, and now he's telling you to tell your daughter versus him taking that humble responsibility.
There you go.
My sister, I hear words. I hear words of remorse and tears, but that is not nearly enough. And I hope I'm wrong about that, too, that he's showing you in action that he is remorseful because he's getting structured help and he's planning the conversation that he's going to have with your children to reveal the truth about himself. Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Here is the devastating blow to the kids. You ready, Lena?
Yep.
Okay. Your father had a 5-year affair. He finally told me about it. When I ask him, have you done anything to fix whatever it was that led to that affair? Have you had any kind of help, honey? Did you go see a counselor like a man? Did you join a men's group? Have you read a book? Did you look up an article? Even sadly, he was unable to say he had done anything other than feel really bad. Do you see how devastating that is?
I have to let me go back. He did go to counseling.
Okay, good. Good.
2000. Yeah, he did go to counseling, and he did tell me that he cut all ties with the woman, and he's been going to counseling, and I've noticed this back in 2017, that he was a completely changed man, and I didn't know what was going on.
Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good.
Yes,
that's good. But here's now let me get to another question. Okay, what good does it do to tell the kids?
Exactly. I think he just wants to tell my daughter because he sees how I'm hurting. And, I mean, we are in line to go to counseling. We have to wait. We live in a really small town, and we have to wait. So we haven't had counseling together. My kids idolize my husband, and I think it would just embarrass me.
Lena, I think we're back to the illusion. If they're idolizing him, then he's perfect and he makes no mistakes. That is not a healthy view of a father. I think there are really important reasons for children to know about this. One, there's a spiritual effect where a door was opened to your family by your husband's decision. And I do think your children need to know about that because they inherit that spiritually, whether they know it or not. And an infidelity on a parent's part puts children at greater risk of either being the unfaithful partner themselves or connecting with an unfaithful partner and becoming a victim of it too. If they're equipped with knowledge of their father being a human who made a grievous mistake and is humble enough to take the action to change things, to be remorseful and show it in his actions, that is a better version of the father that truly is rather than the idealized father that doesn't make any mistakes.
Okay, so here's my conclusion.
I agree.
I totally agree with what she just said there. So I think it's really important that you try to take that in. It's painful, but take that in. If the children are to be told, it's not you that should do that telling. It's him, not you. If you need help, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll find help for you over the phone or Zoom or something. But your daughter, you shouldn't be talking to your daughter about this because you need help. It'd be great for you to be healthy and not need help when the kids are told. So I would be for no, not now, because you're still in really deep pain over this. Wrong time. Too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, when it comes time, he's the one.
Yeah,
I think
that you need to get into some counseling with him and then work to a point where he's willing to confess to the kids with you that he's made this mistake and all that he's doing to make it right. And I agree that is a much better example for the kids.
I do think he wants to do it together with me.
Okay.
He wants to do it with me.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
Okay, now let me ask you this.
Yes.
When you talk about counseling, you can't get it now. Are you talking about because it's a financial issue?
No, we're just on a waiting list. Because when my husband went for counseling, he waited 2 months before he could see a counselor here. So we're on a waiting list.
Okay, so you're in line too for an opening.
Yes.
Okay. So here's what we're saying. I don't think it's a good time right now for you to tell the kids because you're in pain. Secondly, if the kids are to be told, he needs to do it. Thirdly, the motive of telling your daughter because you need help, totally wrong motive. And fourthly, once you get the help, 2 or 3 months goes by, then you evaluate whether or not this does any good for anybody. Mm-hmm. It might really be great, and it might not. But I think that's to be decided later on. Okay?
And Lena, in the meantime, while you're waiting for counseling and while you're needing support, where are those friends that you have? I think it's really important for you to be able to disclose this to some close friends, some women friends. You need them
that
in your corner.
And Lena, to give you hope, Lena, I am the daughter of your husband, and I'm talking about my own family, and it ruptured our family, absolutely. And then we did a whole lot of repair work that took us to a better place than we ever were before it happened. There is hope. Mm.
All right. Really glad that you called. I'm going to send you Worthy of Her Trust. I want you to give that to your husband and have him read that. And then you just don't ever give up until, you know, finally you've gotten the help and your therapist that you get help from says, I think it's a good idea or I don't think it's a good idea to tell the rest of the family. Let's go to Mary, North Hollywood, California. KKLA is the station. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, now that I'm calling and talking to you guys.
Great. Well, that's good to hear. What's going on in your life today?
I found out a couple of days ago that my grandson, who's 16, is into pornography.
Okay.
And,
what does that mean,
he's
into it?
He watches it. He watches it on his little Kindle or whatever they watch it on. He lives with his father. His father's a single dad and lives with his girlfriend.
Okay.
So he spends a lot of time with me, and if he has things on his mind, he'll come to me.
All right. And so he came to you and said, this is what I've been doing?
Well, but no, we're sitting at the table, we're just talking, and he was telling me how he feels. He goes to a therapist now, but he says the therapist wasn't going deep enough. And because the therapist we go to is an intern. And so he said, I'd like to go to another therapist. And he started to kind of cry, and we were talking, and he just told me.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
I got to tell you, that's pretty powerful that you have that kind of a relationship with him. I love that for him.
I know.
And he is thirsty. This young man wants truth and healing, and he's asking you for it. He's asking the right person, Mary. I know you're going to be able to guide him here.
So we'll help you with a little plan for him, okay?
Okay.
How's that sound? So you hold on. Got to go to a break. You're listening to New Life Live, and if you can help support us, we've made it so easy. All you have to do, get that phone, text to this number, 28950, and then you just text this, NLM MATCH. NLM stands for New Life Ministry. NLM MATCH. You do that to 28950. And every dollar becomes $2. Every $100 becomes $200 because this matching fund that people have given, they gave it in a way they wanted to maximize their gift. And I hope you'll honor that. We just use it to reach more people every day. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, our final segment in this particular program, but we'll do one right after this. And while I love talking to myself, I'd prefer not to do that for the next hour. And I know Jill would, and also Alice would prefer that also. So if you'll call us right now, we'll line you up for our next program, 1-800-229-3000. And you can see that while we're doing it there on Facebook Live. So, well, let's go back to the calls. We're talking to Mary, and Mary, I think that there's great hope for your grandson even seeing an intern. My contribution is I think you need to talk to the intern and let the intern know that this is something that he is struggling with. This is with his permission, of course, and encourage the intern to do something other than go into all the whys of pornography at his age, because there's really just one big why. It's available, it's there, and very few people could ever resist it. What you'd want the intern to do is to give him some strategies to avoid it. And, you know, how does he not become hooked on pornography? Can he delete some apps that, like YouTube, or can he put a filter on his phone? Things like that. That's my contribution, the intern and you helping him protect himself from something that is just one big, huge dead end for everybody. Alice, what's your thought? And then Jill.
Mary, I'm curious.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Can I say something first?
Well, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
He said he meant isolation. Because he says that the intern's not, he says he's not going deep enough. I've got issues. And I says, and then when I found out about the pornography, when he told me, I says, well, maybe the reason you haven't told your intern, that's why he doesn't go deep enough. Something's bothering you and he can't figure it out because you haven't been truthful. He said, Grandma, I told him. And he says, he just kind of, I said, well, what did he say? He says, he just kind of skimmed over it.
Mary, some therapists, especially secular therapists, might think that it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not causing mm-hmm. him any problems. It's everybody's doing it. So if that's the case, if the therapist thinks that it's normal and fine and not to be treated, then that would be the time to look for another therapist who can take a strong stand alongside your grandson.
Yeah, good
point. I am going to a Christian counseling service that was recommended by your office. So, you know, I don't know that he...
Okay.
I don't know. That's why I thought, well, maybe he needs somebody with more experience.
And that may be, but I think it warrants, you know, a conversation with the therapist. You know, you can give the therapist information even if he doesn't give you information back, and that would be helpful. But I would encourage your grandson to say, you know, okay, therapy is relational. So I think he needs to ask the therapist if he's comfortable helping him with this issue, and if he's not, he may feel like it's out of the scope of his practice. Could he refer him to someone who works in this area?
Well, I think, and also just go ahead and say out loud, by the way, he told you about this, and he felt like you kind of skipped over it. So, you know, a lot of times therapists skip over it because they're struggling with it themselves, and they don't really know what to say. They know it's not appropriate, but they don't know how to deal with it because they haven't dealt with it themselves. So I would really talk with that intern and see what's up. Intern might say, oh, I have this little plan. I'm just going to do this and this, and then we were going to get into it. Never going to know if he had that plan or not unless you talk. So that's a big first step, and then if that doesn't get anywhere, we'll find another counselor for him. And I'm really, really thrilled with that relationship you have. Jill, you had a thought?
Yeah. I think we also need to get this guy into a group, possibly through a church. A lot of high school youth programs are doing groups around sexual integrity issues. And to get into a boys group, a boys life group where they're addressing these issues, I think would be really helpful for him.
Totally, totally agree. Well, we're just about out of time. I want to remind you, at 5 o'clock Eastern, I'll be doing the quarantine chat. We're going to talk about this first step of grieving and starting to deal with the losses in our lives. You can join me on Facebook Live for that. We're going to do another program right after this. And if you'd like to be on that program, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Then we are already getting tremendous response to the next Every Man's Battle workshop. That's on May the 9th, and it's online. It's a one-day experience, and I just couldn't encourage you more. If you're the guy, call us, sign up. If you're connected to a guy, you find out the info, you make the call. A lot of times that's how it starts, and then he gets the help that he needs. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number to find out all about that. And then we've talked about this tremendous matching gift of $376,534, and we provided a new way, a really quick way. I mean, you can always call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com, but we've got this text-to-give process. We first time we've tried it, and it worked yesterday. So here it is, 28950 is the number you text. So you just 28950, you put in the little box there, the text box, you put in this, NLM match. So it's NLM match is texted to the number 28950, and the little thing comes back to you and says, here, how much would you like to give? And every dollar that you give, it gets matched right out of that tremendous fund. Now, I want to also mention to you that the movie, I Still Believe, it's on demand. You can get it in DVD. J.K. Apa, a lot of your kids will know that name. Britt Robertson, Gary Sinise, Shania Twain, all in this powerful story of the life of Jeremy Camp. And it's an amazing movie, great thing for sitting around in the evening. Everybody's at home. I mentioned Every Man's Battle, but Restore is coming up also. Hope for a Woman's Heart, that's in June. This is for any woman who's been hurt by the betrayal of a man. Then Intimacy and Marriage is going to be in July. And I hope and pray, if you're struggling, so often, you know, people call us here and we know the answer. You should just go to this. Well, we try to provide other insight, but the real answer is they should go to the intensive, because all of these complicated and intricate issues, they get worked out in a weekend. It is powerful, and we love getting to see that happen. We had a lot of men go to Every Man's Battle last month, so again, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, find out all about it. If you join Club New Life, we send you a Life Recovery Bible and a workbook. And then we send four other workbooks along with the journal on the four seasons of recovery. And those workbooks cover things just like grief. What I'm doing, that's my little 12 steps to overcome grief on the chat, the quarantine chat. But there's the workbook for helping you grieve. And then there's a workbook for sexual integrity. That's huge. And a workbook to help you get through divorce. And if you're struggling with an eating problem, there's a workbook for that. We send all of that to you. If all of them don't work for you, you'll have someone that they will. And it's just our way of saying thank you for becoming part of the New Life Giving family. All right. 1-800-229-3000. My thanks to Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. They are clinicians, and we've never had more people that are able and willing to do online and phone counseling. If you need some help, there is no excuse not to get it. We love you. We care about you. We know this isn't easy for a lot of people. And the people that it's easy for, well, it may not be easy for long. But we're here to help. It's a phone number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We do want to help. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.